Accession number 20587, reel 6.
Tom O'Brien, reel 6. So his name was Corky...
Cowan, C-O-W-A-N-E from the Noah.
Yeah.
Corky, Mr. Cowan, I don't know his birthday.
What was he like?
Huh?
What was he like?
Short, stubby, I can show a photo of him if you like.
Yeah. Oh no, you tell us.
Huh?
The tape can't see photos.
No, no, but I say I could have showed you a photo. Yeah. I sure did. If I got the photo, somebody gave it to me. Mm. We took with us up in Antwerp. Mm. Not Antwerp, but in Mortsa.
Did you have casualties in the mechanics?
Huh?
Did you have casualties among the...
Oh, yes, yes. I was saying, we lost two there. What a couple of lost a couple down and further. Mm. But he was the one, like, which you didn't expect, like, in a way, somehow. Oh, of course, we are. I'm afraid it was all... It was in the zones all the time. I mean, after all, the ammo company was dealing with 25-pound ammunition life all the time. And even if they're only feeding gun points, you say, you know... Yeah. But wherever they work from, what they call an ammo dump. Well, if you're an ammo dump, God, no, no. That one went up in Normandy. Oh, the terrible stuff.
So, into Holland?
Yes, into Holland. We went into Holland. We crossed into Holland at a place called Westerhoven. But I think that was one of the biggest mistakes of the war, Arnhem. We should have been there. We should have been in Holland before, you know. Don't forget, we were all stretched. We had supplies, ammo. We'd come from Normandy. They all come up from Normandy, all the ground troops.
So you were always very much at the front of the advancing.
Oh, yes, I used to be in front of my brother, and he was with the Manchesters, because very often we'd take a bridge over again. Your kids coming up, they say, or something on the brand, and I know, but I'd be there before him. Wherever they went, wherever the brigade went, you went. You know, not the whole company, you see what I mean, just the section, see? The subsections were there. Mm. But we went into a place, Westerhoven. Just across the border, we said, don't accept anything off anybody, you know. Anyway, we was in this, the road houses, but there, I can remember, you know, on the main road. It's on the main road to Eindhoven, you know. And we stopped in, and we slept, we went in house that night. We slept upstairs, and all night long, there must have been a religious sect or something. And all night they were playing. Tahiri it was. Anyway, when we went out in the morning, we were on duty. Somebody offered us a glass of milk. Only died once. Anyway, we had to go there, off this route, to open out the flanks. Plenty of it. Once you get the name places, like, you know. And we come back, and Eindhoven, of course, the gliders was everywhere at the time, like, you know, they had gliders there, gliders there. Well, there was loads about it. First time I knew they had a Phillips, tell the truth, was in Eindhoven, you know, when I first saw it. And the river in Eindhoven, the bridge, that was intact. Well, the flamethrowers was working on the river, because there's supposed to be frogmen or something coming up the bridge anyway. All that was taking place, like, and there was shelling, plenty of shelling went on, because there's a narrow front. Anyway, they opened out the cut. We were hitting a lot of little places, like hospital, I don't know, I got the names down somewhere, but the main cut, we went on from Eindhoven to Grave, right? That's another bridge. Because seven bridges altogether, the bridge too far, like, you know what I say. There were seven bridges involved before that, six anyway. And, of course, when we got Grave, we belonged under the American, because that's their drop zone, 101, another. And we're part of this for fight, but in the meantime, we operated from Grave, and we had to go back, because part of our brigade was at Satogan Bush. They took Satogan Bush and that, we were involved there because they had an ambulance unit in the school just now. I met my brother there again, funny enough, in Satogan Bush.
He was with who?
He was in the garden, behind the garden wall or something.
And you met him?
Huh?
And you met him?
Yes, oh yes.
Which regiment was he in?
He was with the Manchesters, he was. He was a cook, but the platoon cook, but he was the C Company, the Manchesters. I met a mate of his not so long ago, funny enough.
What was his name?
David.
David.
He's 91 now. Yeah. And he's a good cook.
What did you see of Sir Togan Bosch?
But we was part of it. Like I say, I drove a Mercedes-Benz from there with the big knobs and parked it in there where we took the school over for the PLM, I think, you know.
Where did you get the Mercedes from?
From when he surrendered.
Right. Whose was it, do you know?
No, I don't know. Some big noise. Didn't matter, really. We don't get involved as well as to drive this thing.
Was that the first time you
involved? Was it?
That was the first time you'd driven a Mercedes, was it?
Yeah, I will, yes. Good. I'll drive it back. I said, it's unfair, you know, the road just strewn with rubble and all the rest of it because there's a lot of shedding going on.
Did you see the action at Sir Togan Bosch?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe to me what you saw?
What can you describe in there? You're ducking, was that? They've got shell fire going on. There's broken branches, there's blades, there's bloody bits and pieces. The bridge was attacked, like, you know, the RAs, and they made another bridge. I know he was one of them, but you know, Sergeant Major in the end, he was Bill, he was in Sir Togan Bosch. He was a Sergeant Major. I don't know how you can describe these things. You're looking at this, just a bloody mess, really. Mm. It is. And casualties, of course. Casualties both sides. Yeah.
So, you were working with ambulance crews?
We do now normally the job we did, whatever the action was. If your ambulance was there and it was due for something, or if something happened to him, you were there.
Yeah. So after Sir Togan Bosch, where did you go?
Our little section was in this place in Grave, a house just on the side of it. It's all different now because you've got motorways, you can't tell. When I went back there, I didn't have a clue because the only one, I remember it well. It's just on the side road, a pretty big place because we had some of the RAF there. I think Johnny Johnson was one of them because they were grounded. And a couple of them was in the same line of barracks because he was always after some souvenirs, you know. And they wanted to come up with us. And when I took the 1500 away back to Sir Togan, they wanted to come up with us. Well, we weren't allowed, but we still put him in the back.
Did you?
They wanted to get,
And you took them where?
They went to Sir Togan, but they wanted to get some souvenirs, provided, you know. Yeah.
What did they get as souvenirs?
We'd be given bits and pieces. They must have done it. They've been on TV, I've seen that. They've been commanders, weren't they? They're good, man. They were all characters in the war. They were all birds of a feather, funny enough. People you mixed with, you know. And then, when we went to Portugal then, we were under command. But at that time, man, we weren't living on our own rations. A lot of our rations was German. From Antwerp, actually, from there. And most of the tin stuff we had was German. Beans, you know, anything like that. Just German, our supply lines was very... Because we were all more or less classified at that time as, well, infantry fighting men. You see my meaning because of the work. We had the volunteers then because when he went up this... Well, it's a gap in a way. It's like a lane. It wasn't called the main road, but there was firing from both sides. Trying to hit the bridges and the column going up naturally when the column got stopped a few times. A lot of action there. But when we was in Graf for about 4 or 5 days, must have been. Because blackout, of course, you know, you don't connect with people. But that's the first time I ever saw or heard a jet. And it was the German jet, not ours. And they said, what's a jet? We didn't know what a jet was at that time. Whoa. It was now. And he dived over this, because it's a big, I don't know what this big, it just must have been a big building of some sort. I don't know if it was a house or nothing. They had a river flowing by. Mm-hmm. And they had a big grounds on the back of it. And then you had a main road running along the front of it.
And the German jet, what was it doing? Was it bombing or?
Yes.
Just went over.
That's That's all he did. We weren't bothered a lot with the German Air Force, and so good beaten about the bush at that time. They weren't in existence, were they? They had enough to do looking after the Russians, I think. They did.
Yeah. Had you heard that the Germans had got a jet plane before
Not really, but we knew they had rockets, didn't we? V1s and V2s, they were firing V2s in Antwerp, didn't they? We used to see from Holland, when we got up further towards Nijmegen, we used to see the rocket going up, the B1, the V2s rather. You could see the trail of them going up from the German border. But first time we crossed the bridge to Nijmegen, well, we had a volunteer crew from different companies taking rafts or boats up to try and cross the river for the Americans, see, to save the bridge. Well, some of our lads, but they were on a volunteer basis, right? You know, they went, because it's a special, it was a special time, because you bypassed your own, you know, the advance of the army that was supposed to be going across the bridge first, like, you know. But you had to bypass them to support the Americans, like, see? And when we was across the river, I had to send a little place across the, just across the river. And the bridge itself is under shell fire all the time. And, if you went across it, like at that time, you would dive across it. Like,
did you volunteer to go?
Well, I didn't have to volunteer. It was part of a unit. Was there was, you know, you just supported the breakdowns or anything like that, and covering the transport. And you know, no choice, isn't it? But
was that frightening?
I suppose it's frightening, but there was so much going on around you that it wasn't frightening in a way. It was part of what you were doing. You didn't expect anything to last. You see my meaning? It's like people used to say, "Why you got to, you didn't live for tomorrow, like collecting stuff." But some people did it with some real little orders, and you just got on with what you were doing at the time. I didn't say. Because all around that area, the armies around there for quite a while. But even after that, we spent about 5 weeks under with the Americans. And for our lot came up then, more or less, after, because that was the time when we had another episode a bit further up. I don't know the name of it. That was a different river. It won the Waal. It was a tributary of something, the one from Arnhem. The Arnhem was the Rhine, of course. And when the airborne was trying to get back across, we had to supply them with the boats and what I got. I met John. He was a sergeant. He was wounded in Paris. Durnham, his name is. I didn't know what the hell was doing. I was with him. And when he was up there. And he'd come back across. And I was with him a few hours, like, you know, a few of them. Time to get him sorted out and helping him this way and that way. And it wasn't our day, but hardly, because I think it's the 43rd day, but it was sections, helping out different things, getting them back out of the way. And this John Durman, I went to London some years ago with a Normandy veteran, and somebody caught hold of me. He was a Sticks sergeant, he was. He knew me. I didn't know that, in bloody hell. I forget. And all the boys were looking at me. Who's that? I said, I don't know. He said, "John, don't you know me?" He said, "John, no." And that's that chap. He's dead now. Dead about 2 years ago. His wife, I met him then in Holland. He went back there. And he wasn't very well then. My daughters met him and all, funny enough.
So you were supporting the Americans then?
Well, we come under their command, because it was in their zone. That was their zone. Eh?
So what was that like? You know, was that different for being under nothing, British command?
Nothing was different about it, really, but it was their sector at the time.
Right.
Yeah, you happened to be there. Nothing new. Food was different. Nothing. But I tell you what, when we did cross, they'd only be across a couple of days, across the other side from Nijmegen. They were tough guys, these Americans. They were rangers and all that. The ones with the eagle head, they were. And they were drinking. They all had their beer, drinking out of their helmets and that. We had nothing like that.
What did you think of the American soldiers
good.
Then?
Good.
What was your opinion?
All my dealings with them, very good.
Yeah. What
They were all sorts, but they had some of the hard tough jobs in the war, didn't they? Mm-hmm. The landing, especially, was a tough place, especially Port Dock in it. No good beating about the bush. Mm-hmm. Eisenhower gave them the worst. I met quite a lot of them when they were going back, like, you know, for the 50th anniversary and that tour. It's the only time I went to 45th, rather. And I was talking around, just raining, pouring down all the time he was there. Terrible. I got Paddy with one, he was about 6 foot four, 6 5. He was really dirty. We used to stay in the barracks in Nijmegen, see? We guest of Nijmegen. The people of Nijmegen were marvellous. They formed an organisation called Stitching, which is run by the people to provide veterans with an opportunity to go back, you know, in later years. And it's only started about 12, 15, 13, 14 years ago. And all you had to do was pay the fare. Yeah, and they had organised the buses,
yeah.
Red Cross, everything marvellous. I got the books there. They're, gonna, yeah. Okay. They're wonderful people.
Yeah. We better get back to World War yeah. II again.
Yeah.
So you
were anyway, from there then, our lot went to come back, double back into what they call Belgium.
Right.
Well, it was, I suppose, we went up over this place, I don't know about November, I suppose it was, must be. Well, when, and I would call them, the part of the game, we go up in some woods, on the road to Romand, as far as I know it was, on the German border, like Bengro, and we went up, we drove up this evening in the night, like over. I had an ambulance on tow or something, and we went up over this road and went into the woods and went to a monastery, or I suppose it's a monastery you called it. And in this woods, because they used it that as a headquarters or ambulance, a hospital unit and that. And we slept there, we had a bath there, in those big wooden tubs, you know, with a fair play to the nuns, they said all the work.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyway, next morning, I had to go down. There was a small road there and another crossroad there. Next morning, I go down to I got an ambulance under repair and something else. And the first aid post was in this little house on the corner. It was wild out in the places. Only one house on one corner. The rest was cornfields and no edges, like just straight fields with wheat or whatever was in them. And I'm going down the road now, and there was somebody talking on the side of the road. You know, one of these reporters, Frank Gillard it was, anyway, talking to these two RE men. And telling them about this biggest minefield of the war. Well, we drove up there tonight. I can't understand the life of me. But there's box mines about, though. Perhaps they forgot to turn them on, as a matter. Anyway, they were empty there. But what annoyed me is that you had these two people now talking. You only must have brought them from somewhere else, like I say. You're talking about who's going to be going back now to, in what do you call that? What are the poplar planes at the time? You know, the wooden ones. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, you were going back and taking this report back with him. And then he was gone. About talking about this minefield and all the rest of it, and he's come up to clear it, but they were gone. But I went down, I was working down the corner now. They were gone. But if he'd stayed half hour, he would have seen something worthwhile stopping for, if you'd call it worthwhile. The Bren was coming across, I think it was from the RAF, 4th RW, I think. And he slid off the, because the roads, you know, it's like sheer drops into the fields, more or less, like bang. Soft ground, like, and he's just skidded off. Anyway, he went up.
So, you were telling me that this.
Where were they?
It
been?
Started slipping into the mine.
Huh? Yeah, well, the mines are all around there. In the road box, you know, you could see the long boxes, or that type box mine they call them, see? But he blew the driver out. Trouble was in those carriers, they're like half stealing with it. And if you catch your knees, he rips them off, like, you know. Mm. So we all dived towards him, but of course I'm sure stay where you are after me. Anyway, eventually there is the driver. He was lying down with his legs one way and he's the other way, you see. So we get him out of the field and he's only just off the bank. And of course the first aid post is right by there in the corner. Takes him in, we hold him, because his leg didn't want much amputating, it was nearly off as it were. He died anyway, so...
That was just after Frank Gillard.
I say, and when I seen him on TV, that finished me with the reporters. I thought, I've never seen the Army fans either. They were, no, I say, they come up just for that. Like, I think that was
Did you see...
We was mad about it, to tell us. Well, that didn't make any difference, but you would have seen something real. Yeah. The coat that he was on about, he was going back in a decoder or something from
who was he talking to on the road?
Huh?
Who was
talking to
the
RE lieutenants or something.
Yeah. Did you see any more of the reporters?
No, never seen nothing. No, never seen nothing of the RE because we was with a girl. They claim it might be the next day or the day after, You're living amongst this sort of thing and because we weren't too long up there, up in this woods area, see the observation post from Roman, was a German observation post, actually. But from there, they were clearing different places, like the brigade. And then just coming up to December, somewhere around about then, the weather wasn't very nice at the time. It was all wet and what again, it was a miserable time, to tell the truth. And something going on all the time, I don't know, I can't remember. But I remember one occasion, I don't know the name of the place, that was summit up there. A little place burning, it was quite...
What sort of a place
a street.
Was it?
Huh?
What sort of a place was it? Was someone's house or a farm? Or...
No, it's like a street, really. It was a farm, there's a big building and another building, a couple of houses. And I remember this woman, she was going, and a baby. And they're on about baby stuff or something. They couldn't find it and put it together. And we went scrounging looking for it. That was it. Okay. You know, the situation was queer, like, you know, funny.
Were you ever able to help any civilians? Or?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
In what ways?
Well, they definitely help them on their way, or what do you call it? I mean, there's civilians everywhere, weren't they? They're talking about the sights you see now and about, evacuees, but that comes later, during the latter part of the war. Seen it all, I'm afraid. Anyway, from there, we coming around about Christmas time, just walking, we thought we were pulling out of the line, so they said, or going down to Brussels for a rest. Don't forget, we'd been in action from the word, once he went in, non-stop for 10 months towards that time. And we went down to, just out, so we skirted, but we went to Mechelen, I think was the first place, round about there, or St. Nicholas or something like that. Little place, I thought, we'll go back to Nordmorton now. We knew with only one family we ever met there. Because they sent me the wife a letter. We was the first British, coming in and that. And I would have liked to go back there. But instead of that, we were heading down that way, down to the Ardennes, right? That was the time of the bulge coming through there.
Right. We'll make that the end of Reel 6.
Oh, cool.